Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Thank you for spending some time with us on the program today. I'm Not Chinese is an entertaining, easy-to-read how-to book describing how to operate and grow a small business while coming to know yourself by serving others. It's about owning and being responsible for the days of your life by living with the choices you make in living it and discovering things about yourself that you'd never know if you hurried off to work for someone else every day. The author is Obrey Allen. He's operated a Chinese Szechuan takeout egg roll and noodle stand for 30 years, specializing in rock concerts and a variety of venues and events, serving hungry crowds of people from all over the world and local communities, figuring he sold around 16 tons of noodles and thousands of egg rolls doing it. A how-to guide for taking responsibility for your life and bringing dreams to reality. I'm Not Chinese, a tale of Satori, cooking, and self-discovery by Obrey Allen, our guest on This Week in America. Obrey, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Good to be here with you, Rick.
What a great story this is, and I'm looking forward to having the chance to talk to you about this and about the amazing life that you've led and the lessons that you've learned. Let's talk about the inspiration for the book. This, I understand, literally goes back decades when the process started.
Yeah, it was a long time in coming. These things always take time. It requires getting to know who you are yourself. And it was all initiated by having a really bad motorcycle accident and left me wondering about my life.
That's what started it. And you went through that period of self-discovery. Talk about that, because so often we're sent maybe messages like that, but we don't pay attention to them. We're intimidated by going into business for yourself. You started what at that point? Is that when you started thinking about living your dream?
Yes, it is. I found myself wondering what the purpose of my own life is. You know, I'm not a religious man, but I believe that the gift you give back to God for your life is how you live it. And giving yourself to others while being productive is a very large part of being purposeful. And that's what led me along the way and formed my beliefs about what I was doing, because it wasn't all easy.
Well, no, and we find that out in reading the book, and we'll find out as we talk about it. It's not real easy. We see you today, and it's like, boy, what a success, and he's had a lot of laughs and met a lot of great people along the way. It's been, I'm sure, ups and downs, just like everybody's life. But that motivation was what? Every day, the fact that you were making your decisions, you were calling your shots. What role did that play in the success that you had in sticking with this dream?
You know, Rick, ideas are the roadmaps that lead into the future of your lives. And business is about managing risk and taking chances. And most often people are looking for the simplest, easiest way to get through their life. And I believe challenges are what bring all of our intelligence to the surface and create the longest lasting memories.
You know, you went through all examining all the possibilities, all the mysteries in life. And again, for a lot of people, that's intimidating. It's easier to turn it over to a boss and we go give them 8, 9, 10 hours a day, 40 hours a week, and let them sort of dictate what we're going to do. How difficult was it for you to decide, you know, I don't want to do that? You took those mysteries and you made them possibilities and made them work for you. What was that like? How challenging was that?
Well, you know, Rick, what I was looking for was a market niche to do something purposeful in my life, something that related to the things that I believed in. And eating right, eating nutritional food is a big part of that. It's about taking care of your health, because your health will take care of you. And my wife and I are on a very clear, clean diet. We don't eat fried food. We eat no processed foods. And we wanted to share that. And we found it as a market niche. And we went to these shows, and people responded to it really favorably.
Talk about how this idea came about. And you talk about the genesis of the business plan. talk about that. It's one thing to think, I'd like to be in business for myself, and I think I've got this product, and I think people will like this, but you got to make it, you got to turn it into a business at the end of the day, the end of the week, the end of the month. You have to have a little money to pay the bills and something left for yourself. Talk about the business plan and what went into, like, taking this idea, putting it on paper, and then making it happen.
Well, you know, it's about creating the perception of others. When we first started, it was really challenging because the first thing that everybody wanted to know is how could we be selling Chinese food if we weren't Chinese? And we struggled with the image of us not being Chinese. And as we got better at doing it, every time we were doing events and shows, people would ask where the smell of a delicious food was coming from, and they would be told, the Chinese people. And so they would go looking for Chinese people, and they found my wife and I instead, and obviously I'm not Chinese. And so learning how to present myself and what I was doing as authentic and sincere was a big part of the learning curve. And on learning curves, there's no guardrails. You proceed at your own risk, and you glean from that the things that work and the things that don't work. And so that's what we were about for the first several years. And we fought against the frustration of not being as popular as we could be, because we were still learning how to go about it, how to present ourselves in events amongst other vendors. And finally, we tapped into a way to handle that market niche, and we turned it to our advantage and ended up doing it for over 30 years.
Which is amazing. And I mentioned the literally tons of product that you've gone through and you're served. Not only was this new for you in going out and starting a business, you and your wife on your own, but you were concerned about nutritional obesity, and you were trying to come up with a product that would be, people would enjoy, but not necessarily pack on the pounds. You mentioned fried food. Everybody wants to go out and eat like that. So you started at a time when people weren't spending a whole lot of time on clean eating, as you said that you are now. Talk about that, and taking a product that there might have been some resistance to in the beginning because it wasn't really traditional at the time.
Well, yeah, there's truth in that. But, you know, there were crowds of people who enjoyed rice. There were crowds of people who enjoyed noodles. And we ended up specializing in noodles. And as you said, we've sold 16 tons of noodles. And I would remind you that 16 tons of noodles was the dry noodle that I bought. When you cook noodles, they triple in volume. So we sold a lot of noodles over the years. And we wouldn't have been selling them if people weren't intrigued and enjoying them. And we developed quite a reputation that people would come to us year after year after year and say, we're glad you're here. What's to eat? So we provided that.
The book is such a fascinating read. The story of our guest on the program tonight, Aubrey Alden, it's called I'm Not Chinese. The book's available at authorreputationpress.com. You can link on and get information, of course, Amazon, by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And you took this idea in what you said in the beginning might be a negative. You're selling Chinese, but you're not Chinese. Sort of turned it into the sort of a branding effort, didn't it? It became, well, I'm going to get Chinese food from the guy over there that's not Chinese. It worked to your favor, didn't it?
Oh, it surely did. And, you know, we capitalized on the fact that we weren't Chinese, because it's not the magic in the wand. It's the magic in the shtick. And we worked that over and over again. And, you know, this was a seasonal business, because my original business plan was to only work for 6 months a year and have 6 months to live my life. At the time, we had a young son. We were building a home. My wife was in grad school. And I was the one holding it all together, going out on weekends, every weekend, and trying to earn my living by doing it.
And did it so successfully. Aubrey Alden, our guest, his book is I'm Not Chinese. Let's talk about the self-help part here, because there was so much because you went through ups and downs in doing this, that you can help people maybe avoid some of those downs as they're trying to put their business together. Talk about taking on the possibilities and the responsibilities of living your own life by having your own business. How difficult is that? What advice would you give someone?
I would say that persevere. You know, Rick, small businesses are what America is all about. If you have a good idea and you think you can make it a worthwhile idea, it requires stick-to-itiveness. It requires persevering and believing in your own dream and not listening to other people give their comments about how your business is or anything like that. And as you work for yourself, you find that you usually work two or three times harder and easily two or three times as long. But it's worthwhile because in the end, the fruits of your own labor are a lot sweeter.
Yeah, if you think this is going to be a situation where you'll put in a 10-hour work week and have a lot of money left over at the end of that period, you're watching too many infomercials on television, aren't you? That's not the reality of this.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, in the very beginning, we judged our success by hitting our break-even point, which means that we broke even at the end of all the hard work and the food and everything. The worst situation would be to end an event with lots of food unsold and left over. And as the business grew, we ended up selling everything time after time after time. And one of the worst things that can happen would be to sell out. And in the beginning, I thought selling out was a good thing. But in fact, selling out means that you're losing the opportunity to market more product. And so we always made sure we had more than we needed, because it's better to have what you need than to not have it when you need it.
Yeah, Oprah Allen, our guest on the program, his book is I'm Not Chinese, available author, Reputation Press, Amazon, wherever books are sold. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can link on directly and get information on the book and be able to order it as well. You're talking about this as essentially self-actualization. Talk about that, because that's so important in giving us that spark to maybe follow our dream that we've been hesitant to do before.
That's true, Rick, and it's a process of self-discovery. Imagining and brainstorming what would work in a business to make it more profitable. And when we first started, we were marketing everywhere. And when you go into the marketplace, if you're selling the wrong product in the wrong market, it's going to be over before it begins. So identifying the things that will make the business work, that will make it click with consumers who are out to have fun and at an event where there's lots of noise and excitement, and to be there on the very cutting edge and strike when the iron is hot, that's what we're all about. And so we did it by treating the whole event as it was live theater. And it was. People would come and stand there at the stand and converse with us. And I can't tell you how many times people asked me, how did you ever end up cooking Chinese food? I know, it's pretty crazy, because it was a life choice. And when people asked me that, I had the feeling that they were looking for something in their own lives that they saw in someone else doing what they were doing and wondered how they could actualize themselves in a similar way. And so they often said, well, you should write a book. And I had never thought of it before. And after 30 years of doing it, I wrote the book.
Well, you know, and it's such a great read on so many different levels. I'm Not Chinese, A Tale of Satori, Cooking, and Self-Discovery by Oprah Allen, our guest on the program. Again, a book available at Amazon, authorreputationpress.com. A few minutes left in the program, going by way too quickly, but it's interesting. I get the impression these people were not just customers. You talk about the relationships that you built with these people, and these people really became friends over time, didn't they, and motivated you and changed your life to an extent.
Oh, indeed they did. Well, you know, Rick, what was happening was we would meet people for 2 days once a year for 30 years. So a lot of the really good friends that we developed, we have known them for maybe a collection of 2 or 3 weeks, but over 30 years. And we would see the same people over and over again. And in relation to that, the people that I met in doing the business influenced me to consider changes in my own life. And I talk about that in the book because I am a collection of all the people that have influenced me in my life. And I would like to give that back to them by being a positive, motivating force in their lives to remind them that the one thing they can always change is their mind. And they can always do things to help themselves. That's what makes life so wonderful. Doing things to help yourself help others. And by empowering them, I made my life good.
And touching other people now with this book, I'm Not Chinese, one thing you said, and this really resonated, this book shares how I discovered who I was, that's okay, and in this case, who I wasn't. And I like that part of it because sometimes you think we spend a lot of our time trying to follow a me that really isn't me. How important is that to figure out who you are and who you aren't?
Yes, I agree. Rick, my wife loves her job. She's an art teacher. She's an artist. And she would go to work on Saturday if they allowed her to do that. I've never had that experience in my life. I have struggled to come to know who I am by virtue of what I believe and the things I don't believe in. And the things I do believe in are things that are beneficial for everyone, not only myself, but people in general. And at these shows, everybody was selling fried this, fried that, and nobody was covering this niche in the market. And the minute we started selling it, people took notice and they appreciated it because we helped to confirm a lot of their ideas about themselves by eating right and being right.
What lies ahead for you? You are a talented writer, as proven in the book, I'm Not Chinese. More writing in the future for you?
Yes, Rick, there is, as a matter of fact. I'm working on another book. It's called The Answer Man, and it's it's about the world's first empathy festival. And it's about coming to have empathy for everyone else because we're all pretty much in the same soup, trying to live our lives, be happy, and do the best we can with what we have to work with. Some have it easier, some not so easy. But when you find yourself engaged in something that you believe in, it's less like work and it's more like a mission in your life. And it gives you purpose, gives you something to look forward to. And it was very exciting to go off on these events and meet all these people and hear about their lives and have them ask me about our lives. And working with your wife is like being in Marriage Encounter on steroids. I'm not kidding. You know, all married men know the look from their wives.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And when you're in business and your wife looks at you and she says, that should have been rice, not noodles, or that should have been noodles, not rice, to you it might seem like a trivial matter. But in the heat of the moment, when there are literally 40 or 50 people standing in line waiting to be next, it can be a bolt of lightning out of nowhere. So learning to work together and to stay focused and to keep going forward was the goal, and lasting, because it's pretty exhausting. We put in a lot of 16-hour days for 3 days in a row at these rock concerts. And afterwards, it usually took a couple of days to come back to Earth to remember who I was. And you know, if somebody came up to me and said chicken lo mein, I could have a breakdown and start crying, saying, no, not more, you know. But that's what I did, and people loved what we made. It was a very rewarding feeling, and it confirmed that my belief in myself to imagine something and to follow that dream to bring it into the real world. And it brought me to this point in my life.
And to touch other people, and that's what Obrey is doing with this book, I'm Not Chinese, In it, he goes through his keys to success, and I've got a minute or so left in the program. But another thing, this book is very entertaining, but boy, you read it and the light bulbs go off as you're reading it. It's like, you know, I got to underline this and remember this. Very few people achieve success by themselves alone. Talk about that. So often they look at you and go, you did this, you did that. And you're talking about you in a very expansive way with everybody around you, your wife, probably the people who worked for you, the people that were your customers. We really don't do this alone, do we?
No, Rick, you know, and oftentimes the employees that I had were single moms, and I paid my help very well because I was enabling them to have a better life, and I depended on them to enable me to have a better life. And when you have people working together towards common goals, those goals are a lot more easily achieved, and you become the tide that raises all boats. And that's what I'm about. I've always been an employer in my life, and running a small business is only part of the equation, Rick. The step that goes beyond running a small business is having people who can work with you and for you to achieve success. And as you achieve success, you enable them to have better quality lives. And that's where the loyalty comes in, because it's true that good help is hard to find.
And to keep, too, I'm sure that that's difficult as well when you have someone and hate to have that turnover.
Oh, boy, is that for sure. And, you know, everywhere we went, we were a fixture. People would come up to us and say, oh, we're glad you're back again for another year of doing it. And these shows that we did, they were wild. We did Harley Davidson shows. We did rock shows. We did dog shows, boat shows, goat shows. the number of events that we did trying to find out who we were and what worked is what this book is about. Because when you start a small business, so much of it is flying by the seat of your pants and brainstorming about what works. And when we finally got a handle on what we were trying to accomplish, we took off. And the next thing you know, 20 years went by so fast that I wish I was still doing it, as crazy as that sounds.
You know, and it's interesting.
It takes a lot out of you.
Well, it has to, and you're sharing that and helping other people, and I'm going to take another minute or so here at the end. I'm guessing that it's not as simple as picking up a book on how to start a business. What there's a lot of, we talked about self-discovery, business self-discovery as you're going, that, okay, this should work, it does it, and being flexible, adapting, and making changes on the fly. I'm assuming starting two businesses are never the same.
Well, there's truth in that. There's similarities, but typically it revolves around having a good idea that has market capabilities. Like I say, if you're selling the wrong product in the wrong market,
yes,
it's over before you begin. And over the years with doing this, the people that I came in contact with enabled me to be who I am because they supported me by, you know, buying our food and sharing with us their views of, wow, this is really good. And the thing was, we turned each client into a walking advertisement, people walking through an event, eating a huge pile of noodles with shrimp and veggies, and everybody else wanted to know where you got that, and they would say, the Chinese people. And so the story began feeding on itself, and it became almost an inside joke that we weren't Chinese, and we're accepted for that.
The title of the book is I'm Not Chinese, A Tale of Satori Cooking and Self-Discovery. Aubrey Allen, our guest on the program, the author. Book available at authorreputationpress.com. You'll find it at Amazon, the usual places. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Aubrey, this really has been fun. I look forward to the next book. I love the concept of that. Hopefully we'll have a chance to get together and talk about that as well. Thank you for sharing your story with us on the program.
Rick, thank you so much for this opportunity, and I look forward to hearing from you again. And you can be sure that you'll get a copy of my next book as well. If you haven't got a copy of this one yet, I'll make sure you get one.
I would love to be able to do that and have you back on the program. It's been fun. Aubrey Allen, our guest. The book is I'm Not Chinese, You'll find it, of course, at Amazon, authorreputationpress.com, and go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Link on directly to Aubrey's website and get information on the book. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.